Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
In previous lessons, we have seen how quickly the nations of Israel and Judah deteriorated under the reign of a wicked king. We have also seen how slowly the reforms of good kings were accepted by the general population. In the last lesson, we considered the contrast between Ahaz and his son Hezekiah, how wicked Ahaz was, and quite remarkably, what a good king Hezekiah was. When Hezekiah died, his son Manasseh took the throne. Manasseh started out as a disaster, but then something quite remarkable took place. Manasseh was nothing like his father. He built up the high places again that his father had destroyed. He made new altars for Baal. He made groves and worshiped every god under heaven except the true God. He even built altars in the temple. Like Ahaz, he practiced child sacrifice. He engaged in witchcraft and fortune-telling. And if this was not enough, he actually put an idol in the temple. We read that he made Judah worse than the heathen nations around them. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and the people through the prophets, but nobody listened. What would happen? Would God completely destroy them because of their sins? He could have, and justly so. Once again, we see how gracious God is. The Assyrians come into the land, and Manasseh cannot escape. We read that they took Manasseh among the thorns, which actually means they put a hook through his nose to lead him away captive. They also bind Manasseh with chains and take him to Babylon, where he's put in prison, where it is believed he stayed for about 2 years. Manasseh has time to reflect. Will he call to his many false gods for deliverance? Will he be angry with God, the God of Israel? No, he actually turns to God. He repents. He is humble. He pleads with God, and God miraculously delivers him. Manasseh is sent back to Jerusalem to rule again as king. It was not uncommon at this time for the conquering king to send their captive kings back to reign as vassal kings, and this is what happens to Manasseh. But Manasseh is a changed man when he returns. The Lord has converted him, and now Manasseh wants to make things right. He removes the high places, the idols, the altars, and restores the altar of the Lord in the temple. He commands Judah to worship the Lord alone. We can be sure that some of the people worship the Lord in truth, but many still follow the heathen practices that he started early in his reign. What a good lesson for us to remember how the influences of misdeeds or bad examples can linger for years. It is also important for us to remember that no sinner is too great for God's mercy. God can and has saved the chief of sinners. When Manasseh dies, his son Amon is king, and he is not a good one. There's not a lot of description about him other than that he sacrificed to idols and did much evil. It is pointed out that he never repented of his sin, and his reign was short-lived. After 2 years, his servants conspire against him and assassinate him. However, this does not go over well with the people. They kill the servants who killed Manasseh and put his son Josiah on the throne. Josiah was a young king and also a good king. At the age of 16, he began to seek the Lord. We may believe this is when the Lord began to work in his heart to convert him. Josiah purges Judah from idolatry. He removes the high places and the groves. He destroys the images and even burns the bones of the heathen priests. Now he is ready to focus on the temple, which needs some serious repair. Materials are purchased, and the temple, which has been neglected and even ruined by some of the previous wicked kings, is finally restored. While all this is taking place, something interesting happens. Hilkiah the priest finds something that obviously has not been used for some time, the Book of the Law, the equivalent of our Bible. Can you imagine not having a Bible for years and not even knowing that you did not have one? That is basically what has happened. And when it is read before Josiah, he rips his clothes to show his remorse because of what he hears. He had no idea. He did not realize how far they had departed from, as a nation, from keeping the law of the Lord. He says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in the book." This is from 2 Chronicles 34, verse 21. Word comes back that the Lord is going to destroy Judah because of their sins. God's wrath will be poured out upon them, and nothing will keep that from happening. They deserve this punishment and judgment. But since Josiah was truly humbled and penitent, it would not happen during his lifetime. The book is read again so that all the people know what it contains. Josiah makes a covenant that all will walk in the way of the Lord and keep his commandments. They also keep the Passover again. And this time, it is the greatest one ever, as no former king has ever kept such a great feast like this one. Some time has passed, and many think around 13 years, and Josiah hears that Pharaoh Necho has left Egypt with an army. Josiah leaves Jerusalem to meet him, maybe to see what his intent is, but Pharaoh sends messengers to tell him that he is not after Judah, nor Josiah, but on his way to fight against the king of Assyria. And he claims that God has told him to hurry and do this, so Josiah should not get in the way or meddle with him, lest God should destroy him. Josiah does not listen for whatever reason, and he comes with the intent to battle. Archers from the Egyptian army shoot at him, and he is wounded. They transfer him to another carriage, take him back to Jerusalem, where he dies. What a sad end to such a promising king. Now Jehoahaz, Josiah's son, is king, and he is not like his father at all. We do not have the details, but we know he was evil like most of his forefathers were. His reign only lasted 3 months. Pharaoh Necho must not have liked him either, because he has him removed from the throne and put in prison. Pharaoh puts his brother Eliakim on the throne and changes his name to Jehoiakim, and also demanded tribute from Judah. So every year, Judah had to pay Pharaoh Necho to keep from being completely taken over by the Egyptians. In order to do this, the people were heavily taxed. Like his brother, Jehoiakim was also a wicked king. The burden the Egyptians had put on them did not cause them to repent or to cry out to the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, has now dominated the area. He invades Jerusalem and allows Jehoiakim to remain as a vassal king. The temple is plundered. His son, Jehoiachin, is the next to reign. After a brief reign of 3 months, Nebuchadnezzar has him brought to Babylon as a prisoner, along with more treasure from the temple. He makes his brother Zedekiah the next king. Zedekiah was an evil king, completely at the mercy of Nebuchadnezzar. During this time, God still sent prophets to the king and the people, urging them to repent so that the prophesied captivity would not happen. The prophets had been saying this for centuries. If you repent and return to the Lord will have mercy. But if you continue in your sin, the judgment and punishment will happen. The people do not listen. Zedekiah does not listen. He foolishly rebels against Nebuchadnezzar after 9 years, and Nebuchadnezzar comes with his army and besieges Jerusalem. For almost 2 years, they hold out, and then the walls are breached. Jerusalem is destroyed. Zedekiah is captured, his sons are killed in front of him, and then his eyes are put out. The temple is completely destroyed and burned to the ground. Thousands upon thousands of people are taken captive. It seems as if only the poor and fugitives are allowed to remain to take care of the land. Anyone of wealth or nobility are carried away. For 70 years, they will be captives in a foreign land because of their sin. What will happen? Will God completely forsake his covenant and his people? Of course not. God is a faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah. God will never forsake his people, nor will he ever forsake his own work. When we look back upon this history, we should be able to see a parallel between the people of Israel and Judah and individual sinners. We also neglect the Lord by nature. We also sin time and time again. We also deserve to be punished and left over to ourselves. But God also comes to us with his word, repent and be saved. By his grace, God also chooses to work that repentance and individual hearts that results in salvation. Let us never rest until we have found salvation in him.